Thought I'd like to begin for us together to hear the words of Martin again.
I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
I never grow tired of hearing those words. What's more, I never grow tired of hearing that voice. As a preacher, as someone seeking to serve the gospel and seeking to do my part, that is a voice to die for. But it's a voice that comes from somewhere. It's a voice that has been kindled in its imagination and its potency and power from somewhere else. It is a voice that has the capacity to stir people and still resonates down through the portals of time to this day, to this place, to this moment, even now. It is a rich voice. Not only the timbre of the voice, not only the cadence of speech, but it is a rich voice. It is a powerful voice. It is a persuasive voice. It has oratorical deftness, but it is a voice that penetrates. What has made that voice different? Why has that voice kindled the imagination and captured the will and the thinking and the dreams of so many? I want to suggest to you, because it follows in step from another voice. Our reading from Psalm today, Psalm 29, talks about a voice, the voice of God. The voice of God that speaks in raw power. It says that this voice flashes fire. Thunder comes from this voice. The waters are pushed back. The great cedars of Lebanon are split in two. Now you need to know something about the cedars, of the trees in Lebanon. Those cedars in Lebanon can grow to 100 feet with a circumference of almost 50 feet. They're huge. And cedars, the cedars of Lebanon are those that King Solomon used to build the first temple. They have captured the imagination of Israel. They're representative of that which is strong and mighty and powerful and stable and secure. And it is meant to challenge any pretense, anyone, any power, any king, any potentate, anyone who seeks to put themselves above everyone else. This psalm bears testimony to the God of Israel, who is true and strong and powerful. The only one deserving of worship. In the common parlance of some of the vernacular of today, it is to say to anyone who would be Lord of all the world, when compared to this God with this voice, hear me now, you've been served. You've been served notice. There is no greater one than this God. It is this voice that spoke to Martin. This voice that animated the capacity of Martin to stand firm when he would, like all human beings, shrink from the task that was before him. We're in the season of all these award shows, right? Now, they're severely hampered because of the writer's strike and all kinds of things, but there's awards for everything. We kind of love to give awards. If you're in journalism, you've got the Pulitzer Prize, the Academy of Science. You've got the Templeton Prize in Religion and Science, even in theology. You have got awards after awards, Academy Awards, the Globe Awards, the Golden Globe, the Emmy Awards, 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 awards. And when you look at these things, before the awards begin, there's a whole ceremony that takes place outside, isn't there? Red carpet, limousines, the latest designer dresses and clothes, and the people come out and everyone's clamoring after the famous. Martin King stood at the opposite end of this. He never wanted to be famous. He was thrust onto the public stage because of his leadership, but he didn't want it. His life was threatened over and over. His family was threatened over and over. His house was bombed. And he thought he would shrink from the task. There's a very telling moment in his life that he referred to over and over and over in his speeches and in his messages that made the difference. And I want to share that with you. It's in his book, Stride Towards Freedom. It was on the night of January 27, 1956. That night, Martin King returned home after a strategic session with respect to the boycott in Montgomery after Rosa Parks refused to get up and the members of the African American community decided that they would not use the buses, and it went on and on and on and on until they had to change the law. But he came back. Coretta, his wife, was sleeping. And he was too wound up. And he was overcome with the daunting task that stood before him. And he felt devastated, like he would give up, restless and fearful. And he talks about this in his book. He went into the kitchen and he made a cup of coffee. And he sat down at the kitchen table, and this is how he tells the story. I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. And the words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. He said, God, I am here, taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I have come to the point where I can't face it alone. At that moment, says Martin, I experienced the presence of God as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever. Almost at once, my fears began to go and my uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything. Do you see? That voice of Martin's that we celebrate today, that we are still moved by today, was only made possible because of another voice, because of God's voice. God's voice spoken into his life, transforming his fear into boldness, transforming his sense of aloneness into the accompaniment of a spirit that said, I will be with you always, always to the end of the ages. It wasn't long after he had that experience, this special experience. In fact, a week later, that his home was firebombed and his family was almost killed. And when news of it traveled through the community, people gathered around his house wanting perhaps to seek revenge. And Martin came down on the burnt out porch of his home. And when the angry crowds gathered in the front, he spoke to them ever more about the need to love one's enemies and to become a people of nonviolence. He said to them, we must meet hate with love. Remember, if I am stopped, this movement will not be stopped because God is with the movement. Go home with this glorious faith and this radiant assurance. And he said, a night that seemed destined to end in unleashed chaos came to a close in a majestic group demonstration of nonviolence. That voice had the capacity to change raging hate into a new way of peace and nonviolence. I want to suggest to you today that we need to make a decision about what voice we follow. There are many voices clamoring for our attention and our allegiance, voices that we don't even know the origin of. There's a huge machinery of voice that speaks to us about being more and more adept at consuming. There's a huge voice that is calling us to live more and more selfishly. There are voices that are clamoring for our money and clamoring for all kinds of time and energy that will lead to destructive purposes. There are voices that assail us every single day. And on this day in particular, we are invited to listen to a voice that points to another voice, the voice of God. For Martin King understood the role of faith. I want to share with you something that he said about faith and about how sometimes there are people who do not see the need for it. This is a quote from Dr. King. At times we may feel that we do not need God, but on the day when the storms of disappointment rage, the winds of disaster blow, and the tidal waves of grief beat against our lives, if we do not have a deep and patient faith, our emotional lives will be ripped to shreds. There is so much frustration in the world because we have relied on gods rather than God. We have genuflected before the God of science only to find that it has given us the atomic bomb, producing fears and anxieties that science can never mitigate. We have worshipped the God of pleasure only to discover that thrills play out and sensations are short-lived. We have bowed before the God of money only to learn that there are such things as love and friendship that money cannot buy. And that in a world of possible depressions, stock market crashes, bad business, investments, money, a rather uncertain future, these transitory gods are not able to save us or bring happiness to the human heart. Only God is able. It is a faith in him that we must rediscover. With this faith, we can transform bleak and desolate valleys into sunlit paths of joy and bring new light into the dark caverns of pessimism. With this faith, Martin King's effectiveness was not only his speech, not only his intellect, considerable as it was, his tremendous impact on the society and still today was because he knew from whom he derived his inspiration and where he got his marching orders. He knew he was affirmed in the task and the role to which he had been called. He knew that he would not waver no matter the temptations to do so. All of us, like him, wants to be safe, wants to protect our family. And they knew that the way to get at him was to try to threaten his family and try to trap him in many ways. But over and over again, he points to that night around his kitchen table with his coffee cup in hand and the voice that said to him, "Stand up for justice, stand up for what is right, and I will be with you." Martin knew. He knew that that promise of accompaniment did not include protection from all harm. I want to share with you, and I've shared with my congregation before, because this is a very personal and yet a vocational moment for me. It is Martin's voice. It is God's voice animated through Martin's speech and words that offered me hope and purpose and boldness in some of the most trying times of my life and ministry. The years spent in the inner city of Kingston, Jamaica, contending with forces of violence and oppression, with drug dealers and bosses who would stop at very little to erase from them any obstacle. And there in the midst of that context, North Street United Church was standing as a beacon of hope and life, defiantly standing against those who would seek to destroy the community to build it up. And not a few times, I was called upon to stand up to the gunmen against their abuse of the mothers of their children, to stand up to the crime bosses against their intimidation of the community. I have no martyr complex, trust me. I want to live a long life, see grandchildren come of my children. But there came a time when I had to make a choice that I know today, I don't even know if I could make it today, but I felt empowered by the voice of God and the voice of Martin King, who stood in similar circumstances against those forces that would seek to impale him and derail his mission. And I felt empowered in a way I could never have conjured myself when I looked those men in the eye and said, "No, you will not do this. You will not beat this woman anymore. You will not threaten the mother of your child again." Call me foolish. I may have been. But there was a voice inside of me that said, "You must do this. You must speak into this situation." And the only thing I can say in retrospect that called forth a courage unborn in myself, that was able to, for a moment, for a time, in a space, put the concern of my family, as considerable as it is, aside. For this moment of boldness, the only thing that I can think of that kindled that courage was a voice, God's voice. For that is a voice to die for. All of us are not summoned necessarily for those kinds of moments. But all of us are summoned to raise the voice that we have. Amen? All of us are summoned to conjure up the kind of boldness that is born out of a trust in the one who says, "I will be with you always, no matter what." So that in circumstances, whether in your place of work, somebody is being bullied, somebody is being taken advantage of, and you are in a position to speak a word into that situation because they somehow can't muster the courage, that voice is accompanied by God that says, "I am with you. Speak it boldly." You are in a situation in your family. A dark secret comes over that family. You are experiencing some horrible things. Somehow, in the hearing of my voice, but more importantly of God's voice, hear the promise of accompaniment and emboldenment. You can speak out into that situation. No more. Stop. I will not put up with it anymore. In a world and a society where there seems to be more and more preferencing to indebt people more and more, you might be in a position to speak up against that. The 1,100 to 1,200 homeless people in our city, every night looking for a place, a warm place to be. Policies made in the municipal level and the provincial and the federal level. You may be in a place where you can use your voice to speak up and say, no more. These people need affordable housing. These people need the basic right of a good place to live and supported in that. It's an accompanied voice. Against the ravages, not even on our own shores, in Darfur, in Kenya recently. We may be in a position to speak up and use our voice. The voice kindled by God, supported and ennobled by God, inspired by Martin King to say no. The tyranny of political corruption must not reign. You ask yourself, who am I? I just have one voice. What difference can I make? Is that the way to think? What if Martin said, I am one person. What's my voice going to do? What difference can I make? And shrunk from the task, where would we be today? Where would the United States of America be today? Where would the world be today? For he joined his voice with the momentum and the litany of others who have stood up, women and men, boys and girls, to say no, whether in a schoolyard, in a home, in a community, in a household, in an office place, in a country, wherever it is, speaking up and say, see a difference. Would that we could encourage each other to speak a voice of transformation. Sometimes when we hear that psalm, we think of God's voice as only strong, mighty, strident. But sometimes it comes to us in gentle tones. The disciples in John's reading wanted to know something from this Jesus. And they were following him, and Jesus turned and said to them, literally, what are you seeking? And they said, where are you staying? What kind of answer is that? What they're really saying, where are you? We want to be where you are. Jesus says, come and see. See, that voice is still speaking to you and me. And it's saying, come and see. Come and stay with me. Jesus is saying, come and let me show you who you can be. Come and let me experience with you the power of God that can make you not only what you've dreamed you could be, but what God knows you can do and be. Come. And I will show you what your voice can accomplish. Come and see. Come and see. You want to see? Do you want to know who you can be and what you can do? Come and stay with Jesus. Come and listen to the voice who says, this is my beloved. Come and listen to the one who said, love your enemies. Come and listen and stay a while with the one who said, blessed are the peacemakers. Come and make your ears tune in to the frequency of the voice that says, blessed are those who persecute you and do all manner of evil against you in my name for me because you are faithful to me. There's blessing even in persecution. Martin King knew that. He knew it. But he determined in his will, in his life, and in his faith that he would not be deterred. I want to share another quote. 1966, after the riots in Watts that broke out. A year later, he went to Chicago from Alabama. In West Lawndale, in one of the city's toughest and neediest places. And there he began to speak in tones that seemed to foreshadow what was going to happen to him. He received 40 calls a day threatening his life. There were several attempts on his life and his family's life. In 1966, 2 years before he was assassinated, this is what he said. I choose to identify with the underprivileged. I choose to identify with the poor. I choose to give my life for the hungry. I choose to give my life for those who have been left out of the sunlight of opportunity. I choose to live for and with those who find themselves seeing life as a long and desolate corridor with no exit sign. This is the way I'm going. If it means suffering a little bit, I'm going that way. If it means sacrificing, I am going that way. If it means dying for them, I am going that way. Because I heard a voice saying, do something for others. What's the voice saying to you and to me? What voice are you willing to die for? Let's end by hearing Martin's own voice.
And they were telling me. Now it doesn't matter now. It really doesn't matter what happens now. I left Atlanta this morning, and as we got started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, we are sorry for the delay. But we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane. And to be sure that all of the bags were checked, and to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, we had to check out everything carefully, and we've had the plane protected and guarded all night. And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Within hours of that, his final sermon, an assassin's bullet shattered his throat. And Martin King was dead. It's a significant and poignant example. They tried You see? To stop the voice. His voice box was shattered. But they could not stop the voice. I have a dream. I've heard a voice. You've heard a voice. Listen carefully and listen well. And you will know it is the voice of the one for whom it is highly appropriate and only appropriate to die for. Amen.